This is the Power Podcast. My name is Sarah of Underground Crowds. We hit Bible topics,
smash book studies,
punch out some songs here and there,
and light up
His Word to strengthen our souls. Thanks for listening.
And 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to talk about a little bit about legacy in reference to what Paul is saying to Timothy. He is making a case. He's going over some things with Timothy. I'm moving the microphone. By way of an apologetic. So let's pray and let's look into this a little more. Lord, I pray that you help us discern when to use convincing arguments and when to cease from trying to argue with people. This is something that I need. There's no way our culture, our circumstance, our even political circumstances, our welfare overall, the mental health issues that we're facing, the porn, trafficking, all of these things that we know about, we know that are happening on a daily basis. There's no way those things can change without the work of the Holy Spirit. But help us to not remove ourselves in a kind of giving up and just, okay, well, you know, whenever the Holy Spirit kicks in, that's when, you know, things can change. Yes, help us to discern this. Help us to have our eyes open. In Jesus' name, amen. So, some things that I noticed right away, verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, first of all, he lays down this, three times he says Christ Jesus, and we know now that Christ Jesus is not a thing in Jewish culture, in Israel, on a broad brush level, that, and I believe they will, but they have not turned to Christ. Christ Jesus is not a thing. And there were Pharisees, in fact, Paul was a Pharisee, who fought and had Jesus crucified. Pharisees who continued to fight the apostles. In fact, none of the apostles made it out of the New Testament alive. And yet we have this interesting thing where, and you would think that would be a chasm, right? You'd think that would be, okay, well, you're on the black hats team and we're on the white hats team, and this is, you know, conversation's over. Right? This is it. We're done. But he says something weird in verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did. I mean, that sounds like something that the old Paul would say. Right? That my forefathers did. That would be something that he would hold up in pride as the unredeemed Paul. The one that has not met Christ. The one who's actually killing Christians. That would be something that he maybe I could put him in that context saying that. But what he's trying to do is leave out connectors. Connectors. He does not throw off legacy. We can add a lot of things to our lives. We can bank on a lot of things being constant in our lives. We can fill up our bank accounts with money. We can ascribe to a certain night. Every family has a certain way they do things. We can ascribe to the certain way that we do things. But the only legacy that will last and that will mean anything is the legacy founded where? In Christ Jesus. But I want to go further and say that legacy is not only defined by Christ Jesus, but we can extend legacy in the name of Christ Jesus. What do I mean by that? I mean, Christ Jesus has the power to envelop every human being in your context. No matter, excuse me, got some sunglasses problems. No matter where they've come from, what their background is, what level of society they are or not, Christ Jesus has the power to envelop anyone into his kingdom in your context and outside of your context, in your scope, outside of your scope. So Paul says with authority, knowing that the forefathers looked to a sacrifice that God planned from the beginning. They looked for redemption in the future. So Paul could say with confidence, I'm operating with a clear conscience. This is clear conscience come from us? No. And we know for a fact that the conscience didn't take the Israelites very far. That over a period of time, God would have to send another judge. And that God was always at odds with these people that had let their conscience be altered by the world that they lived in. Consciences are not pure. So how can we operate with a clear conscience? In Christ Jesus. They looked ahead to the promise. Paul grabbed the promise for himself and extended this legacy and built those bridges faithfully, clear-eyed, and with confidence. And he says so here. God has not given us, verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Would that we were a people with this kind of confidence that the gospel had the power to restore. Restore our relationships. Restore our purposes that we lost along the way. Restore, redeem, make new, make right now. Right now. We base so much on what we see, whether or not we feel, whether or not it jives with our MO, or whenever we can get around to it. But to operate here, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. Well, wait a minute, Paul. We can't be saved because of what our family has done. No. But you can be grateful for the legacy. Paul's not saying because they're saved, you're saved. Paul is saying they passed on a legacy, and I can see that that these seeds were planted in you and sprouted fruit. And I get scared. I get scared that my kids are going to forget. That the people around me are not going to observe. They're going to second. I base a lot on what people are saying to me or not saying to me, whether or not they're aware of who I am or not aware of who I am in Christ. That a lot of my perception of the power of God is based on my interaction with fallen man. And if I'm going to assess the power of God with my interaction between myself and fallen man, I'm going to give up. Verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Oh, man. Thinking about the power of God sitting in jail. Get your mind around that, my friend. God is so powerful. Can I go to the bathroom? Nah. This is a choice we make. We're sitting, whatever context we're sitting in, and the power of God looks not so powerful if we were honest with ourselves. We're sitting in a dead end. We're sitting in unfulfilled promises. We're sitting in jail. Paul. Talking about the what? The who? And if we were honest with ourselves, we've gone around this bush quite a bit. Are you sure? Sarah has. Are you sure? Are you sure? God's just waiting for you. He's waiting for me. To realize that our interactions with this world are not the scale by which we judge the power of God. This little thing I'm going through, this little discouragement I'm going through, and I have, you know, a couple of days, is not the thing by which I judge the power of God. You know what I judge the power of God by? The risen body of Jesus Christ. That's what I judge the power of God by. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. Five times. He says it in this book. Peace out. Chapter. Sorry. Says it in this chapter.
Now. Again, thanks for listening. Catch the next part of this series, usually Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. You can also find Underground Crowds on Twitter, Patreon, Bandcamp, or undergroundcrowds.com.